Out of the dark of the deep range and into the light of the deep strange. And as one listener put in his email, maybe into the rarefied atmosphere of the deep change. Come at the hour, come at the mothership that is Coast to Coast AM. Good evening to you. How are you? John B. Wells in the left seat tonight. You know, I just realized this is the second Saturday night show of the new year. And it's also the second Saturday night show of my, well, the beginning of my third year with you. Can you believe this? This is the beginning of the third year. Wow. Bizarre. Time flies, don't you find? Especially when you're having fun. Got a great show for you tonight. I do believe you're going to like this. It's a wee little bit out of the ordinary. Of course, aren't they all? We will be joined by Dr. Richard Allen Miller. I am delighted to report. Now, I love the favorites. I love the favorites, the returning guests, but I really love the first-time guests. You know why? Because you don't know what you're going to get. But I've got an idea what we're going to get. Here is books, Power Tools for the 21st Century. And we're not talking about, I modified it. Another book, Toward the Evolution of Consciousness. We could use it. Another book, ESP Induction Through Forms of Self-Hypnosis. So check out his website, richardallenmiller.com. That's A-L-A-N, richardallenmiller.com. And also oak-publishing.com. He's a pioneer in the annals of metaphysical and paranormal exploration. I mean, he began working on this X-Files thing, the whole world of X-Files, Guff, with Navy Intel, C-Corp, and then MRU in the late 60s. So he's been around a few decades. Full immersion for Richard Allen Miller. And this means but he probably knows what he's talking about, so be prepared to pay attention. All right, what else? Well, as you know, famous historical figure, Ariel Sharon, has passed away. And you may not know, you might not care, but you might not know that back on December 23rd, Mikhail Kalashnikov, inventor of the Avtomat Kalashnikova model of 1947, the old AK-47, passed away at 94 years of age. Mr. Sharon made it to 85. It's the passing of the generations, don't you know? All right, well, the first hour is all about you. Lots and lots of news things to tell you. You made a horrible mistake. I couldn't help it. There was pizza there, and I attacked it. And so there will be just the occasional. You can always hear me knocking stuff around in the communications pod. It's actually called the communications module, but comm mod comes too close to comm mode, and that has connotations I do not wish to infer. So, it's tight in the pod, and if you hear me knocking stuff around, well, sorry, I'll try and control myself. All right, can I get this? We know that there are problems with all this radiation, all this EMF, these electromagnetic frequencies just beaming out all over the place, right? Well, here's something about the TV. It comes out of the UK, as much of it does, this sort of information. Remember when we had a story on one Saturday night edition of Coast to Coast AM where we discussed how the screens, the doctors, the eye doctors in the UK were saying, we're going to start experiencing big-time vision problems from these screens. Children who watch too much TV may have damaged brain structures. Yes, this is from Mail Online. The more time a child spends watching TV, good God, what is that? Where is that? Where is the bloody thing? I can't find it. Oh, it's you. Never mind. Watch this. You want to hear me knock something around in the communications pod? There, that was my iPhone hitting the wall. Eye problems. Primarily from iPhones. Which, by the way, never fail to deliver when hacked. The NSA is delighted with the iPhone. Nothing against Apple. But thanks, pals. The more time a child spends watching TV, the more profound the changes. It leads to more gray matter in the regions around the frontopolar cortex area of the brain toward the front and side of the head. Watching too much television can change the structure of a child's brain. Researchers found the more time a child spends viewing TV, the more profound. Japanese study looked at 276 children aged between 5 and 18 who watch between 0 and 4 hours television per day, with the average being about 2. That makes perfect sense. MRI brain scans showed children who spent the most hours in front of the box had greater amounts of gray matter in regions around the aforementioned frontopolar cortex, the area at the front of the frontal lobe. But this increased volume was a negative thing, as it was linked with lower verbal intelligence, said the authors from Tohoku University in the city of Sendai. They suggested gray matter could be compared to body weight and said these brain areas need to be pruned during childhood in order to operate efficiently. Now let's go to New Zealand. New Zealand parents remove Wi-Fi from kids' school. Quote, could cause cancer. Damon Wyman and David Bird, two New Zealand parents, have successfully petitioned their children's school to remove its Wi-Fi network. This is from a TVNZ, that would be TV New Zealand. The school will remain an internet-connected way of cable. Pardon me. The school will maintain an internet connection by way of cable, but the fathers are concerned with any potential health dangers their children might face by being near wireless data signals. To get this, Wyman began researching Wi-Fi networks after a brain tumor killed his young son. He theorizes that this was linked to his son's sleeping with a Wi-Fi-enabled iPod under his pillow at night. The school issued a statement saying that its decision to remove Wi-Fi networking equipment was based on feedback from a survey of parents, and while the junior school will see its wireless internet capabilities removed, I like the way this is put, students at the senior school will continue to enjoy Wi-Fi functionality. Very seldom do we trade something that's good and not actually have traded something bad for it in the process. And there's so much more. There is a story about tap water issue in West Virginia. Hundreds of thousands of people in West Virginia could be without clean tap water for days following a chemical spill, state officials said today. Water sample test results must consistently show that the chemical's presence in the public water system is at or below 1 part per million. And that's the level recommended by federal agencies. Thank you very much. Before the residents can turn on their taps again. Well, tap water's not that good for you anyway, is it? I think we know what's in it. Anyway, authorities said late Saturday that water samples were trending in that direction. Most were below that level, but flushing would not begin until readings were under the 1 part per million level for a 24-hour period. Anyway, now, of course, comes the tsunami of FEMA camps. You know, martial law. No, not yet. It's just a chemical spill, but it does give you an idea what could possibly happen. And then, one last thing before we take our wee little break. And by the way, we'll spend this hour talking with you, so get ready to queue up on the Astro Lines. We were talking about Grid X and like, what happened to Grid X? Well, according to, now this is Off the Grid News. And what is written here is that the nationwide power grid down drill known as Grid X 2 revealed that America is vulnerable to an attack on its electrical system, with tens of millions of people potentially left in the dark for weeks if an attack materializes. Those are preliminary results. The massive multi-nation test of the electrical grid, conducted in fact November 13 and 14, discovered in no uncertain terms that much, if not all, of the U.S. would be left without power if a man-made or cosmic-type natural disaster hit the power grid. And, of course, the U.S. government participated in that drill. Well, during the drill, government and electrical officials pretended that tens of millions of Americans were left in the dark, and hundreds of transmission lines and transformers were damaged or destroyed as a computer virus was injected into the system. Transformers also were bombed during the simulation, the New York Times reported. All total, 150 people, with quotes around this word, died during the simulation. Probably not a very realistic scenario for such a widespread outage, in which grocery stores would be emptied with looting and chaos to follow. Grocery stores only keep supplies for about 3 days of normal shopping, so keep that in mind. And speaking of chaos, there's an outfit called gunbroker.com. $300 billion $300 billion in sales as people rush to get their shooting irons before the government comes and takes them away. There's more. So if you know the lines, the numbers to the lines, just start ringing them and we'll get to you as fast as we can. So welcome to those at work, those at home, maybe sit by a fireplace or campfire, those driving truck over the road, those in the air listening on the ADF radio like I used to do, those in hospital, those in prison, we visit you. Now, as you know, and you've heard the promo, we do not talk about politics on Coast to Coast AM. However, it is interesting to note that in a recent Defense News poll of 352 defense, military, and national security leaders in America, 47.2% said they believe that Edward Snowden's disclosures helped the debate on limits to U.S. surveillance. As Snowden disclosures continue and NSA-style surveillance spreads around the globe, the debate about Snowden's ultimate value is still hot, even in Washington's inner circles. Now, this is what's really fun. This is fun. Republicans were most staunchly against the idea that Snowden had a positive effect on the debate about U.S. surveillance. Well, that's because you're stuffed shirts. But Democrats and independents clocked in at 58 and 68% in favor, respectively, bringing the grand total to very nearly half of all respondents in favor of fast Eddie Snowden releasing that data. I have mixed feelings about it. I know the threats are real in the world. I'm not a complete idiot. Still, I think maybe it might be... I think we might do some things like close the border, make it a little bit more difficult to just kind of walk in and take over, you know, something. Put some controls on it somewhere. But the idea that we'll all be safer if we're all spied on. Oh, really? Well, it has never worked historically, so I'm not in favor of it. And Eddie, you just keep, you just stay fast, pal, and we'll see if anybody follows your lead. You know, Cornelius tried to call in last Saturday night, and I didn't get to him. So let's talk to him on Astro Line number 2. Cornelius, down there in Louisiana, how are you?
Hey, big bad John Will. I tell you, man, Seattle beat us, so I'm not feeling too good.
Oh, well, it's only a football game. It's nothing getting a twist over unless you put a lot of dough on it.
It's not the end of the world.
No.
No, I didn't bet on it. But last week... and Gina had me on. I wanted to talk to you, like I said, about John Hagee and that Four Blood Moon prophecy. Boy, if you get him on, you're going to learn a whole lot about what's getting ready to happen to the U.S. Because you can see, you know, John, we've turned against God and everything. I just think some real bad things about to happen to us. So I hope people get ready. Just like you say, they're buying up guns and everything else. They just need to get ready.
You know, looking around the various news services here, you just can't believe the kind of stuff that makes the news. I mean, the cops say a man stole 12 bottles of hand sanitizer from a hospital to make cocktails. Then you got a woman is stabbed by a man for bringing home pizza instead of chicken sandwich, and woman gives birth to her own granddaughter. I mean, all this stuff, and I'm going, wow. Does this really pass for mainstream news? Well, maybe it does. And then, of course, Target got up to 110 million customers, got their data hacked and everything. And then Neiman Marcus got hit, too. It's ridiculous. And yeah. When you see the behavior of the public, it makes you wonder if maybe Daddy's not going to give us a really sound spanking. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know if you said this or if George said this about the government buying all that iodine for this radiation poisoning.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, 14 million doses, but you know what, in the grand scheme of things, that's not that much. It sounds like a lot. It would be, you know, your house or my house. Hey, you know, you want some of this? I got 14 million doses of potassium iodide. But you don't take it just once. That's one thing. Yeah. And when you consider all the people in the military and government, which certainly they would feel like they needed to be covered first, yep. so they could keep things rolling. It's not that much, really.
Yeah, but even the billion rounds of ammunition, now that's something to think about too. Homeland Security.
Oh yeah, yeah. When you look at the timing of those purchases, didn't that happen like right after Fukushima?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of thinking it did. And by the way, man wrote a letter, and in that letter he said that as a result of, he said it was on account of me talking about it, because I've been sort of trying to stay on this Fukushima thing as much as possible. Well, somebody called me down for calling it Fukushima, and it's like, Fukushima! And Fukushima.
All right.
Well, he said, anyway, yeah, go ahead and just listen up. I'm going to blather on here for a second. Anyway, he said that he had quit, as a result of listening to the broadcast, he had stopped buying fish out of the Pacific. But he also said that his cat began throwing up after every meal. So he decided to call the manufacturer, ask him where they got their fish. And the yellowfin came off the West Coast, and the salmon came out of Alaska. And so he's convinced that there's something going on there. He asked them, well, do you test for radioactive contamination? And the manufacturer said, no. But we've been assured by the FDA that there's no problem with that, and that all the radiation levels are well within a very safe margin. Thank you, sir. Click. So that was it.
You know, we've got that oil situation that happened down here. So I've kind of stopped with the seafood on Orion, you know, after BP spill.
Yeah, let me ask you something. Is that still an ongoing cleanup, or did you see much action down there, or what's going on? For a while, it was like tar balls on the beaches every day, and then it just vanished.
What I think has happened is just down there settled at the bottom of the sea, where the shrimp, the crabs, and all that stuff that lives on the bottom. That's why I said we've got that here, and then Fukushima over there. So,
yeah, it's not good. And people keep asking, what's that program for iPhone? It's called Safecast, SAFECAST, and it'll show you what's going on. Now, I'm not inside the technical apparatus there, so I cannot validate the accuracy, but it appears to be quite accurate. And when you see this, it changes all the time. So once you start this little, it's a free app, safecast.com, not .com, just Safecast. Mm-hmm. Once you download, you tap on this thing, and you'll see the irradiation readings as illustrated in various colors. When you come back to it, you know, hour later, 2 hours, 2 days, whatever, if the whole thing is just regular brown and green topography colors, this means you're gonna have to double click on your little toggle button at the bottom. And when all the little windows come up, just shove the Safecast up to where it disappears, reboot the thing, and then you'll see the colors reappear as the situation changes, and it is changing. We've got a great big blue ring all around the western United States. Cornelius, God bless you.
God bless you, John B. Wells, and all the Coast to Coast listeners.
All right, man. Thank you. All righty then. Let's talk to Steve in Dallas. Now, it's unusual to get a call from Dallas. So you found the program on 1190 KFXR, did you?
Yes, I did.
Excellent.
How are you,
welcome.
John B.?
I'm doing all right, man. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. I usually stay up on Saturday night and watch Unsealed. But tonight I thought I might try to call you. I wanted to ask you, you've talked about Snowden a little bit. Did you hear earlier this week that he released another bit of information about the NSA is working hard on getting around the encryption of everybody's emails and phone calls and so on and so forth? And,
oh, yes. We'll keep rolling.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know if you had heard about that. I was wondering what your thoughts were.
Well, my thoughts are that they're not going to stop, because they, my guess is that they feel that the pressure is on, but for the time being, they are insulated from any changes. So they're going to press ahead as fast and go as hard as they can. And, you know, like Google, I just saw a report where Google stands to have the U.S. military as its very, very best customer. So it's not going to stop. This, it is, there's whatever has initiated this global total surveillance protocol. They have a huge agenda, and it will not be stopped. Just remember, though, for every measure, there's a countermeasure, and the best one is non-participation. We'll be right back. Okay, boo-boo number one, it was not $300 billion. When that came out of my mouth, I said, that sounds insane. It was insane. It's just a measly $3 billion. The gun auction site, gunbroker.com, marking industry milestone with $3 billion in sales, not $300. And going back to the other weekend, talking about the guy's got a YouTube video up where he walks down to the beach. He called it Surfer Beach. I thought it was in San Francisco. And a listener said that Surfer Beach is in San Diego. And I'm like, yeah, I know about that one. But I know the guy said Surfer Beach, and he also said San Francisco. And that, in fact, is where those readings were taken. I've never been to a Surfer Beach, either at San Diego or in San Francisco. The only beach I've ever seen in San Francisco, anywhere near San Francisco, had a lot of rock involved and water that you don't really want. Don't want to put your bathing suit on and jump into that. You might not get out of it. But anyway, I keep hearing stories about people who just have to take that memento picture, and then a big wave comes up and carries the subject of the photograph away, never to be seen again, which is kind of a sad deal. So I make it a policy, don't fool around with the ocean, because I'll tell you, that thing will bite you. And I'm not kidding either. But anyway, now people are speculating that maybe that spike came from Hanford. Is that even possible? Here's the problem, folks. You know, one drop of water is not that big of a deal, right? However, you get enough drops together and you get yourself a tsunami like the one that that took out Fukushima. And what we're getting now is a tsunami of information. Wouldn't it be nice if all of this could be collated in something that we could actually rely on? Well, it's going to get harder. And this leads to another comment, which is, all of this metadata, I had to look it up. Metadata. What is metadata? Megadata. I can get my mind around that, but metadata. Metadata is data about data. So in other words, this is going to be a huge informational tsunami that the security services are going to have to deal with. I mean, how much is too much? And a listener sent a very interesting email. Said, I don't buy that stuff about Snowden. Where's the dirt on anyone other than the NSA spies on us? This listener says he thinks it was a distraction and also a test. And it could be something far-fetched, some Illuminati-based ruse or distraction, a trap. And you just kind of wonder, now how is it Ed Snowden is still walking around while he's in Russia? Well, I think probably the United States and the Russians have worked together on a number of occasions. And what happened to Aaron Schwartz? Remember that? According to this little article in InfoWars, a bipartisan group of lawmakers is demanding answers from Attorney General Holder about the Justice Department's treatment of the late internet activist Aaron Schwartz. Schwartz is not around anymore. Supposedly he hanged himself. But eight lawmakers from both chambers wrote to Holder on Friday ahead of the anniversary of the programmer's death and charged that the department had not been forthcoming about its treatment of Schwartz. They called the late programmer a brilliant technologist and activist and demanded that Holder explain how the department's conduct toward Schwartz was appropriate, as a U.S. Attorney's Office has described it. So Schwartz is gone, and Fast Eddie Snowden is still around. So who knows? Nothing is but what is not. We shall return with some more of your calls as we make the run-up to Dr. Richard Allen Miller. This is going to be good on Coast to Coast AM. Stand by. Okay, here's one for you. The banks are going, well, we don't really want that pot money because the states may be okay with it, but the feds may not be okay with it. And, gee, that's a lot of cash, and everybody's real paranoid because now, I mean, This whole thing with legalizing pot and everybody's walking around with blunts and smoking it, it's almost like a 13-year-old girl who, just the moment that she turned 13, discovered the telephone in a way she had never realized. Wow, I can actually communicate with the whole world with this. It's like, and now everybody's pot crazed. Get over it. It's been around for a long time. Even Robert Mitchum got in trouble for it. Famous actor got in trouble for it. Way back in the day. before I was born, even. So there you go. It's like, no, well, okay, maybe here's a receipt. Now get out of here. But they're afraid maybe the feds are going to get on to them for taking the money, which would be a real shocker, wouldn't it? Now, over there where civilization began, or tried to, 7 arrest warrants against bank executives and businessmen over Greek Post Bank bad loans. 3 people were arrested, police seeking another 4 after the anti-corruption prosecutor issued at least 7 arrest warrants over suspected loans from Hellenic Post Bank, worth 400 to 500 million euro. Add another third to that figure and you get it in dollars. That's between 06 and 2011. Former CEO and bank staff, several Greek and Cypriot businessmen, among them the owner of a big private media group, including a TV station, were to face charges on money laundering and fraud. And from Sovereign Man, that past story there, last story, and this story come from Full Spectrum Dominance with dashes between the words. From Sovereign Man, you won't believe this award they give out to central bankers. From Sovereign Valley Farm, Chile, the Ig Nobel Prize is a parody of the Nobel Prize that is awarded every year for the most trivial scientific achievements. For example, the 2007 recipient for the Ig Nobel Peace Prize went to the United States Air Force Wright Lab in Ohio for proposing the development of a gay bomb that could be dropped in hostile territory and make enemy troops sexually attracted to each other. Yeah, what will they think of next? Well, why don't we talk to, it looks like Jana on Astro Line number 5 in Ketchikan, Alaska. Come on, talk to us.
Yes, hello, Mr. Wells. How are you?
Well, just too good for my own good, as we're all about to find out. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. This is the first time I ever got through, and I wanted to let you know that we think you are a great news commentator.
Well, thank you very much, and I appreciate your persistence in getting through those lines. So what's going on up there in Ketchikan?
Well, I was calling to talk about the Fukushima.
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 Yes.
You had a caller on a little bit ago, and he was talking about the oil spill, the BP oil spill, and down there.
Yeah.
And then I was thinking we had the big Prince William Sound oil spill here.
Oh, yes.
And that nuclear disaster going on. And a friend of ours called us one day, about 6 weeks ago or so, and said that he had found a bunch of dead shrimp washed up on the beaches here. And in the water, there was still some swimming around. Dead, you know, there was some dead shrimp in the water, and then there was a few live shrimp swimming around amidst those, you know. But it really scared him to think that, that nuclear waste might be hitting the beaches of Alaska all the way up to the Gulf, you know, coming down. And then, of course, we heard that it came through came up around the Gulf of Alaska, down through Canada, of course, Southeast Alaska, down through Washington, Oregon, and of course, the coast of California. And then I went online and I looked at some information and found that about a month after the Fukushima disaster, that off the coast of California, they found radiated kelp from that disaster. So.
Oh, yes.
And then I'm assuming that what we've heard about the halibut having radiation in them, and a halibut isn't a migratory fish, so they have apparently some radiation, and that means probably the salmon, which are migratory fish, most likely do too.
Well, you talk to somebody from your part of the world, you just expect them somehow to know absolutely everything about their region, which is totally impossible, but... What are you hearing about the fishing seasons up there? Have they been profoundly affected? I hear yes, and I hear no.
Well, I think my husband probably would know more about that, but I think last year they had a really good fishing season here. The silver season here was excellent.
Mm-hmm.
But I was in Heidelberg over on Prince of Wales Island last year, and I talked to some younger fishermen there, and I asked him if they were going out fishing, because we usually buy buy red salmon there in Heidelberg. And he said that a bunch of them hadn't gone fishing because there was some problem with the fish. Something like that in the water. Some of the older fishermen, I guess, went fishing, but a lot of the younger ones didn't go fishing because they didn't feel right about selling contaminated fish to the public.
Yeah, no, I understand. I appreciate that very much. And I've heard that the sardine catches are they're after the small ones, but all they could find were really some of the larger ones that are not desirable to put into the typical sardine can. They want the little ones, and there weren't any. They would return to port with nothing. So, I don't know. It can't be good for the ocean. I'm thinking that 400, 600 tons of radioactive water going out in the Pacific every day is probably not a good thing. I'm delighted that you called. Thank you very much. And stay safe up there. Let's go farther north. Yes? Let's go to Newmarket, Ontario. David on Astro Line number 3 understands it's just a wee little bit chilly up there.
Actually, today it was kind of nice. It was above freezing. But John, best pipes in the business, and I want to tell you, while I don't always agree with you, I always leave better informed for having listened to you.
Well, if you agreed with everything, what would be the point in listening, right?
This is true. And then I'd be a Fox listener.
Exactly.
Okay. A couple of things. On what the last caller has said, nobody's ever brought up about how this water and all the contamination is going to affect farming in California, which is pretty much the refrigerator of North America, if you want to think on that and talk about it later. But what I wanted to talk to you about was economics. I was listening the other night to Catherine Austin Fitz, and she's an intelligent woman, and she's going on, but nobody's proposing anything new economically as far as fixing the system as it is. I'm familiar with, and I'd like to know if you're familiar with a gentleman by the name of Winston Stroud, who has found a way around the economic system vis-a-vis the free man on the land movement. And it involves how when you're born, there's actually a bond taken out on you, on your driver's license and all official, birth certificates and forms. Your name is spelled in capital letters. Well, that isn't actually you. That is the title of the bond that has been taken out on you and is actually traded. So when you represent yourself as a free man in the court system, you aren't liable for whatever it is that is being charged to you. I mean, it's a much more complex thing because it's been set up that way, and you really need to study it a lot to wrap your head around it. But if you're aware of it, could you please, help spread the word, because it's sitting around, actually I'm not sitting around, but, observing everything that's going on. It's like, what has to happen before, people start getting upset the way they get upset in Europe. I mean, over here, in North America, we just sort of take it.
Now, are you referring to Winston Stroud?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, I see his site here, Solutions in Commerce. I've heard about this, but I got to tell you, I do not have a depth of knowledge in it at all. Maybe we should arrange to have an interview with him.
It would be magnificent. Canadian law is very similar to American law, and I know that an Aboriginal woman on the West Coast in BC who was involved as a court clerk learned enough about it so that she was able to take advantage of it in Canada and set up her own bank. It also benefited her because she was Aboriginal, and they the Aboriginal people still have laws outside of Canadian laws. But interestingly enough, Winston isn't allowed into Canada to deliver presentations because of the damage they're afraid that he can do.
It sort of looks like we're at the end of our string with the current way of doing things. I wonder if the very, very high ups, the ones that are high up above the high ups,
yes,
have decided that this whole thing is going to be a cataclysmic shift into the new way. And maybe the new world order is just, as that term is bandied around these days and has been for some time, maybe that's really just the beginning. Maybe that's just the mask. And the real change is behind the mask. I don't know, but I'm looking. I'm watching out, but I only have two eyes, so I rely on people like you to do some looking too, you know?
Well, if I may also compliment you, I'm so thrilled that you were talking about the deception. My background is in communications, and the first thing you learn is to ask, you know, why are they making such a big stink about this thing? What are they doing, you know, with the other hand? I mean, the last time George Bush Jr. rescinded the SALT treaty while there was some sort of ridiculous entertainment commotion going on, and it didn't figure on any newscasts or get any publication. So just the fact that you're making people aware of that is a phenomenal thing.
Well, we're going to have to move all of the chess pieces in various directions simultaneously. I think we're out of time to move them one piece at a time. You know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean. And then thank you for bringing that to the attention of all the listeners.
Well, thanks for calling, David. I really appreciate it. Take care. And have a happy new year. We could use one. Yes. All right. Let's go quickly to, let me see here. I'm looking. Jack in San Diego. What's going on? West of the Rockies. Oh, yeah. All the way to the beach.
So, John, can something like the NSA surveillance program be lawful and unconstitutional at the same time?
Well, only if they say so. With quotes around it. I mean, it seems like the Constitution is now routinely violated, and nobody does anything about it, really, except squawk a little, because we don't know what to do about it other than to get our pitchforks and torches and march toward the palace. And I haven't heard anybody put that party together. I may do it.
Well, the answer is actually yes, when you're in a state of national emergency. So remember, on September the 14th, 2001, President Bush declared a state of national emergency. He was authorized to do that because Congress in 1976 passed the National Emergencies Act. And this act requires that the president renews the state of emergency every year. And the last time it was done was September the 10th, 2013, that President Obama continued for an additional year the state of national emergency, and it's filed in the Federal Register, Volume 78, Number 177. And a lot of people don't understand that this war on terror, it continues, and the state of national emergency continues. And what it does, it gives the president emergency powers and allows him to suspend your civil rights and parts of the Constitution. So you basically, the Constitution is suspended. And the way this war is designed, it's designed never to end. And it never gets publicized when every year the president renews for an additional year the state of national emergency.
Yeah, that's very interesting. I am delighted that you brought that up because it really never entered my mind that, I've heard them say, well, yes, the United States, the actual, all of the 48 contiguous states, everything, all the U.S. territories, all that, it's all the battlefield. So on the war on terror, which Adolf Hitler was quite fond of the term terrorism, he said, yeah, that's the one, because there's nothing that gets people's attention quite like the idea that they could be just destroyed in an instant by an unknown enemy, completely unexpectedly, and so forth and so on. Old Adolf, he had some ghastly ideas, didn't he? And unfortunately, they were very effective ones. You know, the Nazis never went away. They really didn't. They just morphed into something else. So keep a sharp eye and get ready for Dr. Richard Allen Miller. I know he has some thoughts on alternative agriculture, New Age physics, metaphysics, and probably some thoughts on Fukushima, individual sovereignty, and other subjects you may be interested in. This is the Saturday night edition of Coast to Coast AM. Delighted to be in with you, and we shall return.